All right, and I think maybe this was said at the beginning, but I just want to reiterate the reason that we are presenting today is because the three groups that are, you know, presenting to you have won this great materials contest. So, you know, let's give each other a hand for being the winners of this contest. Okay, so I'm here to talk to you about a specific campaign. It's called the Man Up Monday campaign, which we won this contest for. But before I do that, I want to go into a little bit about who the Monday campaigns are, what we do, and then the background and lead up to the project. I have no relationships to disclose. All right, so the Monday campaigns, we are a private foundation that sponsors health promotion projects. Our goal is to reduce chronic preventable diseases by encouraging individuals and organizations to join together to dedicate the first day of every week to health, the first day being Monday. Our approach, we do both bottom-up and top-down dissemination of concepts. We don't have any paid media that we do. All of our stuff that gets picked up is through earned media. We have no licenses or formal partnerships, so everything I'm showing you today is free for the taking. If you want to borrow any of our materials, our creative, our logos, anything like that, you're more than welcome to do that. The way we got started is actually our first campaign was Meatless Monday. I don't know if any of you have heard of that, but that's by far our most popular campaign. And the way that came about were through some conversations with Johns Hopkins University back in 2003. Our founder, Sid Lerner, who is sitting in the back there, is a former ad man from back in the day. I don't know how many of you watch Mad Men, but that's the concept there. And Sid was sitting around with the Johns Hopkins folks, talking to them about, you know, ways to reduce saturated fat intake in his diet. And he asked them, you know, how much do I need to reduce my intake to make a difference in my health, and they came up with the number, about 15%. Well, he's really great at quick math in his head, and he realized that what that would be was about one day a week cutting out these high-fat meats in his diet. And he remembered from his boyhood days in the Boy Scouts in World War II, they had Meatless Monday as a war rationing effort, and it was a popular campaign then. So he decided to revive that as a health campaign back in 2003. So, Meatless Monday has been growing exponentially ever since. However, we did decide, let's expand into other health areas. So, starting in 2006, we started addressing things like physical activity, tobacco cessation, overall wellness, caregiving, and sexual health. So now the Monday campaigns is not just Meatless Monday, but all of these other health campaigns as well. Now, the concept here, of course, is Monday, right? So why Monday? Why is that a good day for health? Well, just to start off with, it's a shared cultural experience. Everyone experiences Monday on a weekly basis. So there's this weekly pattern to our behaviors. If you use Monday as a health day, you're tapping into this weekly cycle of planning and renewal. You know, people see Monday as like a fresh start, which I'll get into later with some of the data. There's 52 of them during the year, so you know you're at least thinking about health once a week, which is better than, let's say, an annual, you know, Great American Smokeout type of thing where you're just thinking about it once a year. So Monday is that day we want to hook on to with our health programs to really get people in the habit of thinking about health. So some of the research that went into Monday concept, there was preliminary research done by Johns Hopkins on the cultural significance of Monday, and as well as periodic messaging. So looking at studies that use periodic messaging to try to change people's health behavior. And what they found was periodic messaging generally does help. So if you're giving people regular messages about health, that's effective in changing health behavior. And here down at the bottom here, I see Monday as a day. A lot of people said it's a day for a fresh start to get my act together. So there really is there's not such a Monday blues type of attitude, even though we all think about that in popular culture. People really are actually motivated on Monday to do things. In fact, there was a recent article in the New York Times. There was a study that came out specifically on attitudes about days of the week, and Monday, it turns out, there's not so much this orientation towards Monday blues, but actually people are feeling pretty upbeat and ready to go. So more recently, we wanted to look at what I would call harder data on weekly patterns. We wanted to look at, you know, whether there is indeed this weekly periodicity to health behavior, you know, what type of mediums would be effective in communicating behavior change that leverage this weekly pattern, and then whether certain health behaviors are more, you know, affected by periodic messaging. So why patterns? Why are patterns important? Why would we want to look at this periodicity issue? Well, you know, if we're looking at trying to change people's health behavior over time, one of the most effective ways we can do that is to tap into already existing habits. So, you know, if you're changing a behavior that's already somewhat habitual, you know, you're more likely to be able to make that change. You know, the funny thing is, you know, public health is just starting to realize this and adapt programs accordingly. Marketers have known this forever. They use these types of patterns to sell us everything, you know, from soap to spaghetti. So it's really time for public health to figure this out and really leverage these patterns. So, you know, one of the things we do when we look at our data in public health is we often aggregate it at, you know, monthly, yearly levels. And this is great because it shows us things like our reach, you know, how many people are we impacting. It helps us evaluate our program outcomes. So I'm not saying that that's not important, but I'm going to show you a different way to look at the data. So what we wanted to do is look at patterns of data over shorter periods of time, again, not aggregating at the month or yearly level, and then looking at patterns rather than just overall trends. So rather than saying, oh, well, we increased participation X percent, really looking at, okay, well, on, you know, this day of the week, participation was at this level, and this day of the week was at that level, and we see that pattern repeated over time. So why study the patterns over time? Well, if you think about health theory, the health belief model, we have that aspect, the cue to action. And if you are able to find these patterns in your data that you can leverage, what that's really telling you is the cue to action or when you should be promoting your program or, you know, exercising your program components to tap into that cue to action. So it's really when people are open to buy whatever behavior you're trying to change. So an example data set that we looked into for these periodic patterns was tobacco quit lines. So what I did was I picked up the phone and I called all the different state tobacco quit lines and asked them to send me their data. It was amazing how many of them were so willing to respond. I think sometimes with these types of data sets, you know, they're constantly collecting data, but nobody ever uses it. So they were very open to handing me their data because they wanted to see it used. You know, they put so much effort into collecting it. So I got 30 states to send me their data, and then through a few different processes of elimination, I had 17 complete data sets and then 16 that were from quit lines that didn't limit their weekend hours. So we could really look at these patterns of calls into quit lines over time. All right, so here is the data mapped out, looking at it from month to month. So like I said, a lot of the data sets we look at, we aggregate it at the monthly or the yearly level. So this is what happens. This is what it looks like if you aggregate the quit lines at the monthly level. So I don't know, maybe you can say there are seasonal trends in the data, but generally speaking, you don't see much of a pattern here. So let's go down to the weekly level, so week to week. So again, you know, maybe you can say something about, like, later in the year there were more people calling in or something like that, but you're not seeing necessarily a clear pattern here. So then let's go down to the day-to-day pattern. And what you see here is something I think is quite amazing for a large data set like this. You see an incredibly regular pattern where every week you have this big surge in calls to tobacco quit lines at the beginning of the week, and then it drops off on the weekend. And I can't emphasize this point enough. This was the same pattern found in every single quit line. Every quit line sees this. You have a surge at the beginning of the week and a drop off at the end. This is just a little bit of a closer look. So again, you know, Sunday into Monday, you're seeing this big surge in calls, and then, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it all drops off. So again, what I'm trying to emphasize here is when you see patterns like this in your data, this is telling you, okay, people at the beginning of the week are saying, I want to call in, I want to get help for smoking. So you want to leverage that type of pattern when you're doing your own program. Similarly, so we got the quitline data. We wanted to look at other data sets for patterns. These are data from the YMCAs around the country, again, showing the same surge in usage of YMCA facilities at the beginning of the week with the drop-off at the end, which I find particularly interesting because I don't know about you, but the most free time I have is on the weekends to exercise, so I was actually really surprised to see this pattern emerge here, too. Internet searches for health-related things, same patterns. Whether people are looking at diets, gyms, doctors, health-related terms and phrases that you can look up on the internet, you see the same surge in activity at the beginning of the week and drop off at the end. And Johns Hopkins is actually working on a paper about these Google searches in particular. Website traffic, same thing. You know, I just took some examples. That's the pattern from the NIH main site, the Mayo Clinic, and then a couple of private industry, Weight Watchers, MyFitnessPal. So again, you're seeing this exact same pattern. And again, I'm a public health person. I don't see patterns like this in any data. So this was really amazing when we started looking into this. Survey data, you know, again, people are seeing Monday as that fresh start. And when we did this nationwide survey, asking people about when they participate in different health behaviors, people were more likely to begin a diet, start exercising, schedule doctor's appointments, quit smoking on Mondays more than any other day of the week. So again, reinforcing this idea of Monday. Another great thing about Monday is it maps to existing media. A lot of media are on weekly cycles, so you know, magazines and newspapers have their editorial schedules based on the week. TV news programs, TV generally. I mean, we all have our favorite shows we watch that happen, you know, Tuesday nights or Wednesdays. You can do the same thing for health. You can map it to the existing media. These are just a couple of examples from the literature, but there are other researchers who have also seen these weekly patterns in the data. The first one is from the psychology literature. It's about motivation and aggression during the week, and people are indeed more motivated at the beginning of the week to change their behaviors. And then physical activity in children, this is a great study out of Australia where they counted step counts over time in children and found that children were much more active at the beginning of the week than on the weekend, which again I thought was weird, but it's exactly the same pattern that we've seen everywhere else. All right, so now I'm getting to the actual program that we won this award for, which is very exciting. This is Man Up Monday, which we started in collaboration with Columbia University and the Harlem Health Promotion Center in New York City. This, again, is part of the larger Healthy Monday movement and the Monday campaigns. So this is just one of our campaigns, but we're very proud of its success so far. It targets sexually active young men. You know, it's implied by the title, Man Up Monday, but that's also a colloquialism that can be applied to anyone, but it's particularly for men is why it was developed. And the goal is to increase STD testing rates by using Monday, again, as that key to action to promote testing programs and services. So we did a pilot program with Planned Parenthood where essentially we actually met them at APHA last year, and they said, oh, we like your materials. We'd like to use them to promote our services at our clinics. So Southeastern Virginia has a number of clinics that they wanted to pilot this at, and they launched it in March 2012, and we designed all the creative materials for them. So we took our existing posters and postcards and things, as well as a couple new ones we developed for them and tailored them to their purposes. So they, you know, gave us their clinic hours and locations, and we stuck those on a poster. We put their logos on our posters, and they were using essentially our creative material to promote their program. Okay, so this is the fun stuff. This is what we piloted in Virginia as well as what we won our award for. So this is one of our most popular posters. This is the Hot Weekend Flaming Boxer Shorts poster. And so again, as you can see, what we did was we put their particular promotion on the bottom there. They were having a half price testing on Mondays that they were able to do through Elton John Foundation grant. and we put their number on there, we put their logo on there. So they were going around the area and essentially hanging these posters to get people to come into their clinics. Hook up this weekend, make sure you didn't catch anything, another popular one. And I want to reiterate here, all of this is free. If you work in sexual health or work with STD clinics and you want to use any of these things for your own promotion, we will give it to you. And again, we're happy to tailor it to suit your needs. This is about condoms. So before you hook up, stock up, make sure that you have your condom supply. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, unless it doesn't. So those are the posters. We also developed these postcards so they could hand them out at events. So this is just the front and back of one of the cards that had their clinic information on it so people knew where to go to get the testing services. I'll add here, one of the most interesting things that we found was that the promotion was actually really popular with women, and they would bring their male partners into the clinic after seeing these things. We did a brochure, so just a bifold that had some health information inside so people could learn a little bit about testing and the different STDs. If you hit it this weekend, hit the clinic on Monday. And this is my personal favorite since my name is Morgan Johnson, but got my mojo working. Planned Parenthood didn't use that. I just added that because I like it. And then we also developed a little video that can be used on YouTube or posted on Facebook or anything like that. So I just wanted to show that to you real quick. So again, just these are simple little things that you can add to your own program to help promote what you do. All right, so the results for the Planned Parenthood pilot, which we just got the sort of the midpoint numbers in, they saw a 200% increase in testing over the first half, in the first half of 2012 over the first half of 2011. That's incredible. I mean, we were pleasantly surprised that the numbers went up that much. In April alone, which is Get Yourself Tested Month for anyone that doesn't work in sexual health, they doubled the number of men getting tested. And in general, they've seen this steady uptick in men coming in for testing on Mondays. So they really were able to use our creative, leverage this concept of, promoting Monday as that day to think about your health and change your behavior, or, either start a new behavior, recommit to a behavior you maybe lapsed on the weekend, or just, take those small incremental steps every week toward the behavior you want to achieve. So we're incredibly proud of our Planned Parenthood pilot, and we're planning to do more soon. So the implications of all this for practice is, again, use that beginning of the week to promote what you do. This applies to sexual health in terms of Man Up Monday, but it really is for any health behavior that we've looked at so far, so you don't have to work in sexual health to leverage Monday. If you do any sort of email, texting kind of promotions or health behavior change programs, schedule those things at the beginning of the week, make that beginning of the week the awareness day for your program. Consider weekly messaging to augment annual events. So, Get Yourself Tested Month in terms of sexual health. But, we have the Great American Smokeout coming up in November. There's all kinds of annual health days that we hear about. And what Mondays can do is really help you sustain the change from that annual day over time. So you say, okay, you quit smoking on the Great American Smokeout. Now every Monday, recommit to that health behavior. And from an administrative and financial standpoint, if you do operate some kind of clinic or program that runs every day or most days and you're looking to scale back hours because of, whatever constraints, make sure you don't do it at the beginning of the week because that's really when you're getting the most impact for what you do. For those of you that are interested in research, some of the things we want to look at moving forward are testing messaging at different times of the week to see if there's different impact on behavior patterns. You know, maybe if you do messaging on Mondays, it changes one thing. If you do it on Tuesdays, it changes another. So really looking at those day-to-day differences. Looking at exposure delays between the promotions and behavior. So if you go out there and you're promoting your program on Monday, you know, what does that mean for your actual program usage on other days? Comparing the impact of weekly messaging on different health behaviors. So, you know, Mondays or weekly messaging may impact smoking cessation in a different way that impacts physical activity. And then investigating the effectiveness of weekly messages in different community settings and different media. So this, the concept of Monday is broadly applicable to across different health behaviors and different settings and media, but it would be interesting to see if there are subtle differences in these things. So if you want to learn more about Monday campaigns, or if you would like any of our free materials, again, free, Peggy actually brought some literature with her. We also have a booth in the exhibit hall, 2300, and we're happy to talk to you more about this. And if you want to use any of our materials, again, we can tailor them for you and are happy to give those to you to disseminate as you will. So thank you very much, and I hope you all join us in making Monday the day all health breaks loose.
Thank you, Morgan. And let's give a round of applause to all of our presenters.